Good morning, everyone. It's such an honor to be here this morning. Such an honor to stand here in the front and just bring the Word of God. I'm just so excited this morning. I'm just overwhelmed with Him and with His presence this morning. And I'm just excited of what He's gonna do this morning. So I'm just going to start off with, let's just pray quickly before I talk too much. Yes, Daddy, You are so good. You are such a good God and such a good Father. And You're even better than what we can imagine. And Father, we just thank You for Your presence that's here. And Lord, we just thank You that it's all about You. And I just declare this morning that everything that I say, that You will bless it. And it's all for You and it's all about You. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm just going to start off just quickly telling you about myself. Who's this random person standing here in the front? Like Lisa said, my name is Stoffel. I grew up in a Christian home. My father is an Ingekerk reverend, Dutch Reformed reverend, like a dominee. But like most dominees' children or sons, I was very naughty at school. I did everything that I could do that was wrong. I stood on that scripture that says, test everything and just keep what is good. So I tested everything. Long story short, I went to university. In my first year at University of Stellenbosch, I got radically saved. My life was just completely transformed. And I maybe going to touch on that a little bit more later on. And then I finished my studies, thankfully, because I was just like, Lord, I don't want to study. I just want to go and do missions in Africa and just serve You and go wild. And luckily, the Lord said to me, no, just finish your studies and then we can see. And after my studies, I worked at a church in Stellenbosch. The East People Every Nation churches in Stellenbosch. I worked there for the church. I was full-time in ministry. I married my lovely wife, Linda, while we were both together in ministry. And then what was interesting was we found out about a place in America where there was just absolute revival taking place. People were just coming from all over the world to this church in America where there was just miracles, signs and wonders. People were getting healed. Drug addicts were getting saved and just stopping with everything, being set free. I mean, just everything that you read about in the book of Acts was happening there and is still happening there. And the Lord just spoke to my wife and I and said, I want you to go. And we were like, no, Lord, I'm busy. We're here on a path going somewhere. And the Lord just said, I want you to stop everything and just pack up and go to America. And we did that and it was the best decision, one of the best decisions of our lives. We went there and we just experienced so much stuff, and I'll probably share more of that like in the months to come and years to come. Of just, we really just experienced the manifest glory of God. But the interesting thing is, you go there, and a lot of students go there, a lot of people go there just to experience God, but you go there to see the miracles, and you come back transformed by the love of God. You go there to just see the glory of God, and you come back and just wrecked by the love of God. Just wrecked by His goodness and how much He loves us. Because, I mean, that's the core of miracles. That's the core of signs and wonders and everything about it. It's just He loves His people, and He wants His people to be free. And He wants us to prosper and be good health. We see that in 1 John, that He actually says that. And yeah, so our lives were wrecked, and we came back to Hermanus, actually, for some reason. The Lord sent us to Hermanus, and both of us are working here, and we've joined the church here. And so that's just short, like, who we are as a couple and who I am. But I don't know if my slide is working. I tried my best. But this morning, I really asked the Lord, what do you want me to preach about? And He just kept on saying, my love. I want you to talk about my love, the power of my love. So that's the title of my sermon this morning. And my first point that I want to touch on is you were created for love. There's this worship leader at this church, and she wasn't a worship leader then. And we sing a lot of her songs actually here in church that we don't even know about it. Her name is Kim Walker-Smith. And she was in the prayer room, and she was going through a tough time, and just like, Lord, just praying and crying out to God and saying, Lord, why did you create me? Because up until that point, her life was just one big mess. And she was just like, Lord, why did you create me? Why did you create me? And the next moment, the Lord actually spoke to her, and he said to her, I created you for love. I created you to be loved. And she just had such an encounter with God's love in that prayer room, and her life was just transformed and radically changed. And she was pulled into the worship band, and now she's traveling the world just singing about God's love, just singing and sharing this story of how she encountered the love of God. Going back to how I grew up, like I said, my father was a Dutch Reformed reverend, and my mom was just supporting him in this. And I remember I was probably in grade 10 or grade 11, and I was home, and my mom started telling me the story of what happened. She went on this camp. Now, as you know, in a Dutch Reformed church, there's a lot of stuff happening. I mean, there's bazaar, and there's kinderkrans, and all these things taking place. My mom was always busy, and she went on this camp, and the camp is all called a silence camp. You're not allowed to talk to people. It's just, you go on this camp, and you just speak to Jesus or whatever. And she was on this camp, and she was preparing for her next kinderkrans, or her next class that she had to present. And she was like, Lord, just speak to me and tell me what should I say and whatever. And she just couldn't receive anything from the Lord. And she was just so frustrated, and she fell asleep. And when she woke up, Jesus was in her room, like a physical Jesus was in her room. And as she stood up, he came and he gave her a hug, a physical hug with like physical arms. And he said to her, you and I have a love relationship, not a working relationship. And you can just imagine that just transformed her life. Like when she came back from this camp, I could see there's just like a joy and a light in my mother's face. And I mean, that was still in the stage where I did everything that was wrong. So I grew up like trying to live in the world. And at the same time, I had this mother just having these experiences with Jesus. And it was just like this conflicting thing. Like I was like, oh my God, like with whom does stuff like that happen? And my mom would just walk around talking to Jesus, and I'm also there. She's not even talking to me. She's talking to Jesus. And like, I grew up with this reality that Jesus is real because of my mom. So, but the bottom line, like I said, she was trying to prepare stuff and work for Jesus. And he came and he said to her like, no, 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 no. You and I have a love relationship, not a working relationship. And that's basically the essence of what I want to share this morning. I'm just quickly going to read that scripture there. It's Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19. It says that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. The love of God is not something that you can work out in your head or mental ascent or try to figure it out. Like Paul says here, it passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I think if I ask the question, who wants to be filled with the fullness of God? Most of you are going to put up your hand. And here Paul gives us a key, and he says, if you want to be filled with the fullness of God, understand his love. Because God is love. It's quite simple, actually. It's not a big revelation. But God is love. And there was this saying in this church in America that we went to, and it says, there is no one that can love him like you love him. There is no one on this face of this earth that can love him the way that you love him. That's what makes you special. The way that you love, the way that you express love, the way that you experience love, the way that you show love is different from the person sitting next to you. And that is why he is so interested in you. Because he created us differently. He created us diversely. And that's why he just hungers for us. Because there's no one else that can love him like you love him. I mean, there's just, you're just so unique in that. My next point is, there is nothing you can do to make him love you more. There is nothing that you can do to make him love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to make him love you less. And we see that scripture there. It's Romans 5 verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and he demonstrated his love towards us. So there's nothing that you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He just loves you. He's just absolutely crazy in love with you. And we know in Romans 8, it also says that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. Nothing. Nothing created, no mistake that you can make, no mess up that you can make can separate you from him and can separate you from his love. And I can just experience this morning that I mean, like the worship leader said, that he's here. Like, he's here, he's in this room, and there's nothing that can separate you. The only thing is that it's an illusion, that sometimes you feel far away from him, or sometimes you feel far away from his love, but that's a lie. It's not the truth. And I'm going to touch a bit more on that as we go on. But the Greek word for love, as we all probably heard that sermons before, but it's agape love. And the meaning of that word is unconditional love. So if there was something that we can do that can make him love us less, then it wouldn't be agape love. Then it wouldn't be the God kind of love, because then it wouldn't be unconditional. Okay, so that's unconditional acceptance across the board. Number three, he who knows how much he is loved is unstoppable and fearless. So that's what we really experienced when we were in America, was just people coming there and just being radically touched by God's love, just radically touched by just his goodness. And as soon as they experience that and they're in that environment, all fear just disappear. And they just become this incredible, bold people. They're just not scared anymore. They go up to people on the streets and just love them. They're just so bold. They just go and share the goodness of God to people around them. And it's just so life-changing. And the scripture there is 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we see that the love of God casts out all fear. But again, we see this thing of where it talks about love and perfection and love and fullness. It's like we want to reach perfection. We want to reach that fullness of God. But we see in the Word of God that the key is love. That is the key. That's what it's all about. We want to see all these miracles and do all this stuff, but the key is love. And as we receive that love of God, our lives are changed, and all those fear just disappears, and it's just the love of God that we live by every single day. My next point is number four. It says, the Apostle John did not boast about his love for Jesus, but rather about Jesus' love for him. The Apostle John boasted about Jesus' love for him. He didn't boast. Whom of you have read that in the Gospel of John, where John talks and he says, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loves. All the time. Like, he's like, yeah, and Peter was there and James was there and the disciple that Jesus loves was there. Referring to himself. How often have you referred to yourself as the disciple that Jesus loves? we see that Peter was, Jesus came to Peter and he said to him, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. How did Peter react? He said, no, Jesus, I love you too much. I will never deny you. And when push came to shove, we know the story, he denied Jesus 3 times. But when we look at the Apostle John, we see that he didn't boast about his love for Jesus. He boasted about Jesus' love for him. So after the day, we're probably going to walk around in town and every one of you are going to walk around and just introduce yourself. Hi, my name is John, or Stoffel or whoever, Linda. I'm the disciple of Jesus loves. Because that's your identity. That's who you are. You're the disciple who Jesus loves. And we see the scriptures there. It's 1 John 4 verse 10. It says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then the next one is 1 John 4 verse 19. And it says, for we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We see a principle there. That everything in this life, that we read the word of God, and we see like the Lord says, without faith it's impossible to please him. And we see the word of God and it says, God wants us to live righteously in this world. And we read and it says, the first commandment is to love God. But if you read the word of God and you see anything that the word of God asks of us, or what God asks of us, you'll see that he first gave it to us. So, God says, the first commandment is to love him. But here we see that John said, but we love him because he first loved us. So how the kingdom of God works is that we first receive from him and then we can give. Everything. We receive the gift of righteousness and we live righteously. We receive the gift of God's love and we can love him and love others. We receive joy and we can live our joy. We receive faith because faith is a gift from God. It's a substance. We see it as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faith. Some of our Bibles translate it as faithfulness, but it's exact same word as faith. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that we receive from him, and then it flows out of our lives, that trust. And it's the same with love, and it all starts with this love. So we first love him because he first loved us, and I want to challenge you, just start seeing yourself that way. Start referring to yourself in that way, like, I am the disciple that Jesus loves. That's who I am. And you'll see that as your mind are transformed, as you declare that, and as you believe that, and as you live that, you'll see that you're walking, yourself walking in that love more and more, and experiencing that love just more and more. Okay, then, my next point is, God is absolutely crazy about you. He is in awe of you. Now, whom of you know that, I mean, we know that God says that he is love and that he loves. So often we have this mindset of, okay, but God created me, so he has to love me. Like, even if I'm like this bad person, or even if I'm just, I don't even like myself, but I mean, God has to love me. Like, that's who he is. But did you know that God doesn't just only love you, but he actually likes you as well. He actually thinks that you're quite cool. And not just that, he's actually absolutely in awe of who you are. That is who he is. That's how he feels about you. That scripture there says, Zephaniah 3 verse 17. This is a big picture of who God is. It says, the Lord your God is in your midst, like he is like today. The mighty one will save, as what he did during worship, just saving you from your worries and your cares. He will rejoice over you with gladness. So what is that picture? He will rejoice over you with gladness. The Hebrew word actually there refers to someone jumping up and down and spinning in the air. That's actually the Hebrew word there. So that's how he feels like when he looks at you. He's jumping up in the air, spinning around, and he's rejoicing over you with gladness. Like when he looks at you, you know, like when a mother or father looks at their little baby or their child, like they just smile, and everyone just has a smile on them. And it's, if you multiply that with 100, that's how he feels about you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Who of you have heard God actually singing over you songs? Like just in that place, being with him, and he's singing over you. Like songs you've never heard before, but it's just songs of love. Just overwhelming. Like he's creating songs just for you. He's actually, do you know that he sang songs over you that no one has heard before? And that he haven't sing it to anybody else, just for you. Each and every one of you have a unique song that God sings for you. And it's just not just one, it's more than one. My wife one time was spending time with Jesus in worship and at home. And the next moment she saw a vision. The Lord showed her a vision. And the vision was this picture of the house of God. I don't know if it was heaven. I don't know what it was. Like, I don't know everything behind it. But it was just, the Lord said to her, like, this is my house. And he took her into the house. And as she walked in, her favorite thing on this world is cupcakes. I don't know why, but she just loves cupcakes for some reason. And as she walked in, on the table, there was freshly baked cupcakes. And she's a photographer, so she loves colors. And the walls of the house, the colors of the walls was changing all the time, like into all her favorite colors. And it was just so beautiful. And the Lord was like, yes, yeah, this is my house, and welcome here, and have a cupcake. And she just had such a good time with the Father there. And the next moment, he took her into another room, but it was a big room. And there was art on the walls, all kinds of beautiful art. And Father God took her, and they was on like almost like a table like this, but a little bit higher, you know, like smaller, like what they do in art expositions. In the middle of this thing, there was just this blob of clay. And the Father came, and he was just going crazy about this blob of clay. And he was just saying to Linda, look at how beautiful this is. This is so amazing. Wow. Like, just look at the beauty and whatever. And Linda was just looking like so confused at this blob of clay. And she was looking at the Father and like, what? Like, what? And she asked him like, what is it? And he's just going like crazy about it. And she was like, what is it? And he said to her, it's a car. Like a little car. And she was like, okay. And then the Father explained to her, and he said, this was a little disabled boy that made this car for him. Like he was in a class somewhere playing with clay, and in his heart he thought like, I'm going to make a little car for Daddy God. And he made this car, and God had it in his house on this honorary place. And he was just freaking about how beautiful this was. But Linda was looking at the other pictures like, wow, that's beautiful. But God was just going crazy about this. And that just shows you his heart. That he doesn't look at things the way that we look at it. He doesn't look at you the way that you look at yourself. You look at yourself and you just see a mess. You look at yourself and you're just like, Lord, this is just a blob of clay. I'm not beautiful. I don't have talents, whatever. But he's freaking out about you. He's absolutely crazy about you. He's rejoicing over you. He's singing over you. And he is in awe of you. It's the same where Jesus said, I want, the Father is looking for worshipers. Why? Because he's first giving it to us, that awe, that wonder. He's giving it to us, and then we respond like, wow, this is an amazing God. I'm blown away with his goodness. And we see, I want to read that last scripture there. It's 1 John 4, verse 17. You see, I said there, why? Why does God love us so much? Why is he so crazy about us? And it says there, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So we can have boldness in the day of judgment. And it says, why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. So this is a bit of a mind-blowing scripture, because if you think about what that scripture actually says, it says, as he is. Now, John wrote this scripture after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Jesus was resurrected. He was sitting at the right hand of the Father, full of glory and honor and praise. And he says, and he writes, and he says, as he is, referring to Jesus, obviously, as he is in glory, in majesty, in heaven, so are we in this world. That's who you are. Jesus prayed in John 17, and he said, Father, I pray that the glory that you've given me, that you will give to them. And we see all over Scripture, it says that we are sons and daughters of God. That we are created in the image of God. You are so much more amazing than what you can imagine. You are so much more just beautiful and perfect as what you can imagine. And we see that in that Scripture, is that as he is, so are we in this world. You are glorious, you are wonderful, you are beautiful, and you are powerful. You are so much more powerful than what you can imagine. Did you know that in your pinky, your little pinky, because God lives inside of you and because you are a son and daughter of God, you have more power in your little pinky than all of hell combined. That's who you are. And as we realize more and more who we are, our lives are transformed. That's where we start seeing that scripture's coming alive that says, Jesus saying to the disciples, these works you will do, those who believe in me, these works you will do, and greater works. Why? Because I go to my Father. Because he was glorified, and now as he is, so are we in this world. And that's why, like I said, he's not looking at you and like, yeah, I see everything and all the problems or whatever, but I'm still going to love you. He really loves you because you are amazing. It's not this hypothetical thing out there that we have to convince ourselves like, okay, Lord, the Lord loves me, the Lord loves me. No, like, he really loves you. Like, he really loves you. He is really amazed by you. He is really in awe of you. Why? Because, like I said, he sees the truth of who you are. Why don't we love ourselves? Because we see a bunch of lies. Why don't we love the person next to us? Because we see a bunch of lies. But God is, the Holy Spirit is bringing a season into the church where he's taking away those lies and he's revealing the truth. And that's what Paul referred to in Romans 8. And he said, creation is waiting and groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. Creation is waiting for that to be revealed. So how does revealing work? Revealing, if I've got something behind the cloth, say I put something behind that cloth, that thing is already there. All that I do is I reveal it by taking off the cloth. But it was always there. And it's the same with us. It's already there. You are already a son and a daughter of God. You are already powerful beyond your imagination. You're already loved beyond your imagination. But all that God is doing is he's revealing it. He's taking off the veil of lies that the enemy has lied to us. He's taking it off. As I'm speaking now, he's taking it off. And he's revealing your beauty. He's revealing your authority. He's revealing how much you are loved. And he's revealing it to creation. Because as we start to manifest that, our true identity, creation is set free, people are set free, and we are walking the way that Jesus walked on the earth. Okay. Then my last point for this morning is, love is a substance. You can experience it. Okay, so before I go into this, love is a substance, you can experience it. I'm not saying that I experience the love of God every single day of my life. Okay, we all get busy, we all go through tough days, we all have days where we are down. And it's in those days where we are reminded by the word of God that he loves us. So we all know of that place where, man, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling discouraged. But I know that the truth is, not what I'm feeling, but the truth is that God loves me. I know that the truth is what his word says about me, that he loves me. So we all have those days. But then we have those days where we really can experience his love. And I really believe that today, this morning, is one of those days. And the scripture there is Romans 5 verse 5. It says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So love has been poured out. Now, you cannot pour out something that's mental. Like I said, the love of God surpasses knowledge. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is not pouring out knowledge. He's pouring out something that you can experience into your heart. Because the heart is the seat of experience. So he's pouring out something that you can experience. The revivalists, like we study a lot of revivalists when we were in America. Like John G. Lakes, Charles Finney, all these guys that really changed the course of history. And almost all of them told about experience where there was like almost like waves of God's love just pouring over them. And they just kept on pouring over them. And their lives were just never the same. And it was something that they could experience. And it's the same of us. And you know what? The thing is that we can experience that every single day. Because it's like a good father and his daughter or his child runs to him and climbs onto his lap and says, "Lord, Daddy, I want a hug." No father is going to be like, no. I'm whatever, you know. No good father or good mother is going to chase that child away. And it's the same with us. So it's there every single day, that liquid love, that experience of his love. And I just believe, like, today, while we're sitting in this atmosphere of faith, it's there for us. And I know even people sitting there now are experiencing that. But the good news is that scripture says that love was poured out into our hearts in the past tense. It says there, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been," past tense, "poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So that love is already poured out into your heart. We just access it by faith. It's already there. It's not something that you need to strive for. It's not something that you need to like even ask God for. It's just it's already there, and you can just receive. You can just go access that in your spirit, in your heart. Just like, "Lord, thank you for your amazing, amazing love." I'm gonna ask the worship band to come up to the front. And I'm just going to ask them to just play a song for us. And while they're doing that, like, I really just felt like what Linda shared during worship as well was, there's a lot of us just sitting with a lot of worry and a lot of fear. For various stuff and various reasons, and I'm not going to go into that, but the Lord just showed me how easy it is. Like I said, you are so much more powerful than you can imagine. And the Lord just showed me, and he said, all you have to do, like, if you're experiencing fear, if you're experiencing worry, whatever, it's as easy as just saying, "Fear, worry, leave. Go away from me in the name of Jesus." It's as easy as that. And I just want us, just as you sit there, I just believe that the manifest love of God is here today, and that he wants to set us free from fear and worry. Because that scripture that I read was that the love of God casts out all fear. The love of God casts out all fear and all worry. That's what it does. And just quickly, as you sit there, I just want you to just, you don't even have to close your eyes. Just softly, just in a whisper, just say, if you want to, you don't even have to do it. just say, "Fear, leave." Just say softly, "Worry, leave me in the name of Jesus." And then as you say that, then you just invite the Holy Spirit. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, come. Just softly in your heart. Just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus.
I was just sitting here in the front. I'm Linda, the wife of Stoffel. Just keep on receiving from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to prophesy over a couple of people. Just to explain the word of prophecy, it's basically tapping into the love of God, tapping into the identity of who God says you are and releasing it over you. Sometimes we don't always hear so clearly from God, and I'm just going to release that over you. If I don't pick you to prophesy over and you do hear something that you agree with, just grab it for yourself as well. We completely operate according to the Holy Spirit. We don't operate according to human understanding. There was one thing that I firstly want to release over you guys as a church. It's something that I struggled with for very long, very, very long. And that's the performance mentality. That's the mentality that you are living by for other people. You have all these standards that you're living by for other people. And basically, you're living your life for other people. You're trying to be perfect in so many ways. You're trying to be the perfect wife, husband, worker, boss. There's so many areas in the life that we perform in to get accepted with. We do stuff for other people to be accepted. And I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to come in now and heal that. He just wants to come in and just take it away. Because we are, in Galatians, Paul speaks and he said, it's for freedom's sake that we have set you free, that I have set you free, that Jesus has set you free. It's for freedom's sake. You have been called to walk freely on this earth, who you are, how God has created you to be. Just you. Perfectly, perfectly you. So if that's you, if you are struggling with performance, just receive this prayer. Father God, I just bring all these beautiful hearts to you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that your love is perfect. Your love is casting out all fear. Father, and I speak against the lie of the enemy saying that I'm not perfect, I'm not good enough. And I thank you, Father, that we speak your identity, your perfect sonship over these people now. Just receive it from him. Just release it, whatever it is. Whatever you're chasing, just release it to him. He's that good. Martin, toe jy nou hier voorgestaan het, het ek net gevoel die Here al speaking English. I just sense that your tithing message was so powerful, and not only in the message itself, but also in who you are as a person. You are so highly rewarded and regarded in the society in Hermanus, and people know about you so well. You're a man of integrity, a guy that stands for what's right, a man of character. You're somebody that so many people can rely on. And I just sense God is, there's something he wants to give to you, and I think it's breakthrough, not only in your business, not only in your personal life, but wherever you go, you carry the spirit of breakthrough. That's who you are. That's what you do. So wherever you go, whatever you do, I don't know what you do, but I can see that among you, that the spirit of breakthrough is resting on you like a blanket over your shoulders. And sometimes it's just a smile away. You can just give a smile to someone and breakthrough will come into their lives. Personally for you, for your family, but also for your workers, for people that you touch with every day. So I just release that over you. There's this lady, I hope she didn't leave. Lady here sitting with the black top. Are you looking back now? Yeah. I just heard God's releasing a voice over you. A strong, strong, strong voice. I feel that you've been praying for so many years, for so many circumstances. You're a very strong intercessor. Somebody that prays day and night for people to be released, for people to be set free. And I hear that's your voice. You have a voice to release into this beautiful town of ours, into your workplace. And I just hear God saying, keep on going, breakthrough is there, you're going for it. Be strong, be courageous, be bold. And it seems like you've got a strong, strong personality. You know what you want. And sometimes you look at yourself and you think, that's a little bit too harsh. But what God is saying is that's the way he created you to be. So speak your mind, speak it boldly, speak whoever you are and just release it over the people. There's a gentleman sitting with his hands. Yeah, you're looking to your wife now. You've got a massage. You're looking at your wife again. Now it's okay. So, right here with the white blue ship, sitting behind the lady with the pearls around her neck. You. I just feel that you're a father. I'm speaking to you. Keep on looking to your wife with the gray hair, bald head. Yeah. The man sitting right next to you, is that your husband? The one thing that this world desperately needs is fathers, and you're one of them. You've got incredible wisdom, incredible insight in so many people's lives. You're one of those people that only speak when you need to speak. You think about a lot of stuff. You seem very lighthearted to the world around you, but you're very deep in your thinking. You think the whole time about solutions. You think about people, brokenness. And that's the heart of a father. That is so desperately needed, not only in your community, but also in the world, in this church. And I really want to encourage you to step forward as a father and lead as a father. Give out hugs, give out kisses, whatever you feel like, but share that father heart of God with the people. Because it's very rare. It's very rare that people have such a pure father heart from God. I just release that over you. I love this. I can do the whole day. If you have chicken in the oven, I'm so sorry. There's a lot of creatives in this church. And I said this to Lisa one day, we were having coffee, and I said to her, there's a lot of creative people in this church. I'm creative, and I'm going to tell you my testimony just to tell you to release that creativity over you as well. I wasn't creative at all. I was a pastor. They are creative, but I wasn't the creative pastor. My sisters are very creative. My family, they're very creative. But me personally, I couldn't write. I couldn't take photos. I couldn't do anything like that. Then we went to Bethel, and as I was praying, I was on the plane, and I was praying, and I was saying to God, Lord, I don't exactly know what I'm going to do there. My husband had this plan. He's going to change the world. But I didn't have that plan. I didn't know what was going to happen to me when I arrived in Bethel. And then God spoke to me, and he said to me, this is your year to explore what I gave you, the gift I gave you. And as I arrived at Bethel, at the church, there was one of the subjects. One of the courses that you can attend is creative writing and photography. And I decided, let's go and do that. Let's just do that. And I signed up for the course, didn't know what I was doing. I was surrounded by top photographers. Literally, there's people coming up from Hollywood to attend this church. So I'm talking about extremely creative people and me. I had no gifts, no writing skills, nothing like that. And at the end of that year, somebody came over to me and he said to me, whoever gave you a camera, which was my husband, did the world a favor. And right there, my creativity was released. And I'm today a photographer and I write. And that's how my creative journey started. A lot of us are so extremely creative, but we're so scared to step out. Because being creative is part of who you are. So when we step out to be creative, we immediately want to pull it back, because we feel like people's going to stumble on it. So I just want to pray, and I release a boldness over so many of you. There's lots of you, like this whole, these people right over here, extremely creative people. Step up. Be creative, whatever way. You don't know how many miracles lies in that creativity. One of the things that happened to me is I photograph, obviously, a lot of people, but, sorry, love. I photograph couples. They come to me and they want me to photograph them. And there was three instances of three couples on this different occasions that come up to me, and I was their bucket list. They were struggling to fall pregnant, and I was the last person, the bucket list, before they said goodbye to having children ever. They really struggled a long time. I didn't know this, so they came to me to celebrate their marriage, to celebrate their wedding vows, to celebrate their life, and saying goodbye to the possibility of being parents ever. And I was photographing them, having fun, and at the end, I would ask them, how are you doing? How do you feel? And then the story would come out, and they would say, it was three couples. They would say to me, we can't have children. You are a bucket list. All three of them have children today. Because I released that over them while I was photographing them. I released wealth and health over them. And I prayed for them standing right there saying, I really trust that God will give you a baby. All three of them, one have twins. So it's amazing to see how creativity is also part of the kingdom of God. It's also part of being an expression of his love towards the world. I really want to encourage you. So Father, if that's you, if you feel you're the creative one, just stand up. I'm going to pray over you. Oh, wow. See, I told you lots of people. Wow. Father, I just thank you so much for these beautiful people standing in front of me. I thank you for all their creativity, Father, whatever it is, whether it's writing, whether it's painting, whatever it is, baking. Father, I just release your gifts of creativity over them now. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help them to be bold with whatever they have to give to you. Father, I ask that you will give them opportunities to express the true nature, to express your true nature, Father. Just step out. Father, thank you so much. I just increase their creativity now. I see stories coming out of this church. Beautiful short stories. Stories about Jesus. I see that. I see children books coming out of this church. Beautiful, beautiful children's books. I see a baking company coming out of this church. All for the kingdom of God. I release that over you now. Thank you so much for your goodness, Father. In Jesus' name.
I just want us to sing one song. We're ending off here, but let's just all stand and sing one song. Our worship band is going to play us a song. But as we worship, I'm going to open up the altar as they speak. And if you're here this today and you're just like, wow, this just feels so far away. But I'm hungry for that. You talk about all these stories and the love of God, but it just feels so far away because I've drifted away from God or whatever. I'm going to open up the altar here, and while we worship, I want you to come to the front because it's so easy. It's so easy to just come to the front and just come and make right with God. Just come to the front and just say, Lord, here I am. I want to encounter you. I want to know you. I want to make my life right with you. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've drifted far away, or I've never walked with you, but I want to come. And it's just quickly, you just come to the front and just meet with him. So let's all stand and just sing one song. And as we sing, you can come to the front.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging.
My anchor holds.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are so good, and thank you for your love, and thank you that we can experience your love. Thank you for your freedom, and it's for freedom's sake that you've set us free, Lord. And yeah, we just give you all the honor and all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to close off here. Thank you for coming. There's tea and coffee at the back. You can welcome to stay behind for some fellowship. We're going to be here in the front. If there's any one of you that in need of prayer, please come to the front. We're more than willing to pray with you. We'll love that, actually. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.